Our Rebbe said we were in the middle of this Tosfos in the Tablet of Lamed Amud Aleph. And we had said answer number one in Tosfos. The question was, even according to Rabbi Eliezer allows you to bring the knife. And Tosfos asked, even on Shabbos, even though you didn't bring it yesterday, right? That's the beginning of Imlo Hevi Klimei of Shabbos. You didn't bring it on Friday, you can still bring it on Shabbos. And there are distinctions about Megula, and times of Sakana, Yemachaseu, fine, not for now. But Tosfos asked the question, why is it that you can only bring, that you should only bring the knife, shouldn't you bring the baby? And Tosfos' first question was based on the fact that there is an Issa Derabanan to bring the baby, because Chayinam say it's asma, but an Issa Derabanan to bring the knife, because it's a Rishas Rabban. So he gave a first answer. What was Tosfos' first answer? Why was it okay to bring the knife instead of the baby, even though the baby is of a lesser prohibition? That's the answer. What do you mean?
The baby needs to be used to mother.
Okay. And therefore what? Same thing. But what's the difference? Why does that justify bringing the knife and not the baby?
Kikafos,
and therefore
inevitable.
Can't bring her.
The inevitable, not just an Isser, an Isser Deraisa. There's already an Isser Derabanan to bring the baby. But to bring a baby who's eventually going to be a chola and then create an Issa Deraisa, so then it's the same thing. We're just dealing with the one option or the other. You've got Issa Deraisa this side, Issa Deraisa the other side, and therefore you should just bring the knife. Because why? I don't know. We had said yesterday two possibilities. Either because you'd prefer, we're just doing Chazar Avi, you prefer to do an Issa Deraisa as opposed to an Issa Deraisa and an Issa Derabanan, right? That's bringing the baby to the Derabanan. Bring the baby back is necessary, as opposed to the knife. You don't have to bring the knife back. So that's about one option for why it would be better to bring the knife, even once you say, according to Tosfos, that it's the daraisa and the daraisa. And option number two was, maybe even within answer number one of Tosfos, there is a leniency for convenience. That even though both are daraisas, one has the more convenient daraisa, and one's the less convenient daraisa. To bring the baby, to schlep a baby, is obviously more stringent, is less convenient, and just as stringent. That's answer number one. What did the Rashba respond to answer number one? Right, it's the bottom of the page here. Einu mechaber be'einai, right? In the middle of there. Doesn't make sense. Why? Mikol makom achshav einu kapos. Right now, the baby is still chaynos es asma. So it might be true that after the bris milah, if we had our crystal ball, we could see that, yeah, we're going to have to bring the baby back. Because the mother needs it, and then he's going to be a chola, and therefore it's going to be an Issa Deraisa. That could be very well in the future. In a few hours from now, we might have to violate an Issa Deraisa. But right now, we have an Issa Derabanan and an Issa Deraisa. So therefore, Tosfos, why are you intuiting what's going to happen in the future? You don't know what's going to happen for then. Who knows? Maybe there's going to be another nursing mother. Which we say, by the way, that might be a differentiation between Tosfos and the Rashba, whether or not there is another mother, and even if there is another mother, whether or not it's going to be enough to allow you to not bring the baby back to the mother herself. But we're going to leave it to the side for now. So the Rashba doesn't like this Tosfos. Ella Yeshlomar, the Rashba is going to give his own answer, and his own answer is similar to Tosfos' answer. It's just different in terms of its chronology of the situation. So the Rashba says, let's see, Ethan, you want to take the bottom line of the Rashba here?
Sure.
Ella?
Ella Yishlomo, the Fiyu Kodim, Mila, Amhali Kofos. That is going to say that even before the Bris Mila, he's going to be Kofos and rebounded. The Tino Kotan Kolkach, Eno Nosha Esasma. The child's not going to be able to carry himself.
Right, what was Tosus's answer? Tosfos' answer was that, after the bris meal, he's going to become a kapha, he's going to become a chola, and his kakapos dummy, he's like bound. After the bris meal. So says the Rashi, what do we care about after the bris meal? Says the Rashi, the problem is even before the bris meal, he's a baby. He's a little baby. A little baby is not going to do anything. Even though his blood is moving and his muscles are moving and whatever, he's not considered strong enough to be a chayna osei fasma. When does a baby, and here's the million-dollar question, when does a baby become strong enough to be considered chaynos es asma? The Rashba says that he's a tino katan kolkach enos es asma, and therefore even to bring the baby would be an issa deraisa, and that's why you bring the knife instead. Again, we have a deraisa versus a deraisa here. I presume we're just going with the more convenient one. But when does the baby become chaynos es asma then?
why do we say before that the child is?
So this is part of that question. Why does Tosfos believe that a little baby is Chanos Eis Asma? Well,
a
7-day-old baby is not able to do it either.
I'm sure
Tosfos will find that out.
Born.
Right when he's born, what?
Yeah, I can't imagine there's a difference between 8 days and born.
There are only two people here that saw a source that might answer this question. When does Tosfos, if Tosfos believes that a 7-day-old baby is already Chayno Seif Asmo, does he believe that already out of the womb?
Anybody opens his eyes?
Yeah, if he holds, I think, I'm just guessing, if he says it now.
So there's a Tosfos on Sadi Dalet Amar Aleph that implies that it's all after the first day. Atinos ben Yomo is not Chayno Seif Asmo. That's the very last line of that Tosfos. But after a first day, he's already able to move around. He's habituated himself to the environment, whatever. I can't tell you what it means scientifically. But the Tosfos says on there, Sadi Dalet Amar Aleph. That's in the additional Makoros here that you probably didn't get to, that I know you didn't get to. That Chayno Seif Asmo applies to maybe after Tinos ben Yomo, after a first day. That's the implication of Tosfos. There are other explanations also. Some say that it's after the bris. Once you recover from the bris, some say that it's after 30 days. There's a halakhic significance of 30 days in terms of whether or not we consider him to be a full-fledged baby. And the Gemara and Shabbos talk about whether or not you'd be a nafel up until 30 days, the whole thing.
If so, then this is the
right start. So says the Rashba, it's already Nisr D'Oraisa. Tell us, what do you need a crystal ball for? What do we need to say? Oh, after the Brit Mila, he'll be a chola, and therefore you're going to do a D'Oraisa later anyway. Might as well do it now. Says the Rashba, you're doing D'Oraisa, you have to bring the baby right away. Just bring the baby right away is Nisr D'Oraisa.
Still 2 verse 1.
No,
why?
Two derisas here.
It would be 2 derisas if you brought the baby now.
Right, and one for the
only baby. 1 derisa for the knife. Then for sure you should bring the knife.
Yeah, for sure
you should bring the knife. One could think that maybe the derabana isn't part of the equation.
That's
possibly you could say that, but now you say this derisa. Sure, derisa versus derisa and derisa versus derisa. Although, according to the Rashba, you might not even look at the later derisa. That's not even part of the equation. Right, because the Rashi says, what are we talking about later for? What are we using crystal ball? We're talking about right now. We have a derisa versus derisa. So the Rashi still needs a little bit extra.
Do you think he's saying like the halachic process doesn't recognize?
So that's what I was saying yesterday. This could be a fundamental way of how to look at halachic decisions. Do you look at it just in terms of what's right in front of you, or do you look at what's coming, even Roas Hanola, what's going to be created through this halachic issue? So it's a good question. I'm not really sure. I know I've heard people ask that question. I don't remember where the sugya comes up otherwise. I know there's a question in terms of being machnas yourself into a suffix sakana. Right? Should you go try to save somebody else if it's going to put you in pikuach nefesh situation also? Like if somebody's drowning and you don't know how to swim, but you want to try anyway. Right? That kind of thing.
Isn't that the in the desert, there's only one water bottle?
That's different. That's different because one of you is going to live, hopefully. That's my focus. So, v'yesh mishatiret, this is the Rashba quoting Tosfos again. Yesh mishatiret gam b'tosfos. To the Rebbe Eliezer, kevin shator hitira, machshirin lo tarchinan v'lo mishaninan. This sounds a lot like Tosfos' second answer, but it could very well be that it's not. But either way, what it means is that there are those who explain within Tosfos. I'm not really sure if he's quoting here. It has a little 7 there. Yesh mishatiret. No, that's not it. 7. He's quoting Ramban. Yes, it's unclear if he means the same thing or not. But there are those who explain that it's referring to the fact that Rabbi Eliezer thinks once the machshir and mitzvah are mutter, so then they're mutter. You don't have to change anything. This is a big machlokas, and I was talking about this with Simon before, that if you're going to say that something is mutter, so you have to figure out, is it hutra or is it dechuya? Talk about this, Ethan also, and Yehuda, that you have to determine what is the nature of that allowance. Is it like the isser doesn't exist at all, and therefore just do it like you regularly do it? Or is it that the isser is still there, and you should try to avoid it as much as possible? So therefore, here he's saying that once the Torah says it's allowed, just bring the knife. You're allowed to do whatever you want. You don't have to make any calculations. There's no iser. Very similar to Tosos' second answer, that even if you're allowed to, you don't have to try even to avoid Isur. You don't have to do any shinoi. You don't have to change anything. Once it's allowed, you don't have to try to avoid any Isur. V'im tomar. But then he asks the question. V'im tomar amailo. And this I'm going to pause, and we're going to look at the second answer of Tosos. The second answer of Tosos on the front of the sheet or on the second sheet, whichever you have. There's a Tosos on both sheets. V'od yesh lomar. This is right in the middle of Tosfos. You do want to do this? V'od yesh lomar. So he's still answering the question, why bring the knife, not the baby? Okay? V'od yesh lomar.
V'od yesh lomar. Kiven diyoter bekal yedia klin mishir yedia tinok shari v'yeliezer kiva maher ha-mitzvah. Kiduk of the Gemara, d'omar pa'amach asher kacho lo aviyu izmo me der Shabbos. V'yir b'Shabbos.
Okay.
The Odish Lomar, that since it might be easier to bring the Kli as opposed to the Tinok, then Rabbi Eliezer permits that, Kli Lamahara Mitzvah, in order to speed up the Mitzvah. Kedimah of the Gemara, it says it's proven in the Gemara that the Amar Pamachas, Shechachu, Velo, Evi, Rizmo, Velo, Shabbos, that one time someone forgot and he didn't bring the knife on the Erev Shabbos, the Viva Shabbos,
right.
He brought it on Shabbos. Shalom Beritono, that wasn't in Shalom Beritono, Shevi, Derech, Hatzos, Vigo, Gospel, Kakipos. It wasn't in Rabbi Eliezer's Ratzon to bring it through, courtyards and rooftops, and
instead they should have.
Instead they should have brought it to a Rishusar Abim. And Alma the Shari Rabbi Eliezer Derech Rishusar Abim Daher the Oraisa Kila Maher Mitzvah Afal Pishiyachol Asos Delik Elik Yisira Devanon. And therefore Rabbi Eliezer should have said that. Rabbi Eliezer said that it would have been better to bring it through Rishusar Abim if that was possible to. You have to mitzvah by bringing life and also avoid it.
Even if it meant, Aval Pishi Yachol Asos in and Deleika El Yisir, even if it's possible, you could have done it in a way which was only in Issa Drabanan. You could have done it through the Chaseros, through the courtyards. You could have done it in a plate in a time that would only be prohibited rabbinically. Rabbi Eliezer would still say, do it the Daraisa way. Why would Rabbi Eliezer say that? There are a bunch of ways you could look at the second answer to Tosfos. What's one possible way? Well, first of all, we have just the phrase Kedei L'maher. What does Kedei L'maher mean? To speed it up. What is that? What halachic significance does speed have to do with anything? Okay, so you could say it's reason L'mitzvah. What else could you say?
On that same topic of L'maher?
Miwa, maybe?
When you have the mitzvah, you should do the mitzvah. Okay, mitzvah bel
yata dachmisena. Same type of thing. That's the same kind of thing, yeah. There are other concepts that we'll see in a second. But this could also fit into the Hutra versus Tichuya. That if you're going to say, we'll talk about this maybe tomorrow, if you're going to say that it's completely okay, so then it doesn't matter how you do it. If it's completely okay, there's no problem anywhere. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's another way you could say that. But this is different. This is disagreeing with the first statement of Tosfos. The first statement of Tosfos was saying what? The first statement of Tosfos was saying there's an issur d'oraisa either way. So just cut your losses and do it with a knife.
Or there's no issur d'oraisa at all.
Right. Or there is absolutely no issur d'oraisa. That's another way. That's hutra. If you say that the d'oraisa doesn't exist, that's what you could say. Or the second answer of Tosfos is also possibly saying, I don't care if it's an issur d'oraisa. I don't care if the calculus doesn't work out. The other value of doing it quicker is more important than the Issur D'oraisa. Meaning before we were looking at it as if there are two Issurim here. I could either do this Issur or I could do this Issur. Says Tosfos, I don't care about this Issur because there's a more important value of doing it quicker. And to do it quicker overrides the Issur D'oraisa. It's not about which one's more or less prohibited. It's about that we have a value that's more important than those both of those options. Good question. So you're already stuck in the mindset of trying to push away the mitzvah. Right? You're trying to say that in order to say that it's justified to violate an Issur D'oraisa, you have to have something which is as strong as it.
What other way would there be?
If the Issur doesn't exist, you don't need anything.
There's no weighing.
There's no right. It's not this versus that. But you're right. You're probably right in terms of sort of the more literal read of this Tosfos is to say you need something to push it away. Either what's pushing it away is taking a different D'oraisa, right? Violating a different D'oraisa, which is just as problematic, or just as viable as an option, and therefore that's the answer number one. That this will choose this as the D'oraisa instead of that one, and pushes that one away, right? To bring the knife instead of the baby. Or you could say that there's a positive aspect, the mimahar, the mitzvah, which pushes away the D'oraisa. But a third option is the hutra versus the chliya, which we'll talk about tomorrow. But there's a problem with this. And that is with another Tosfos. It's not really a problem with this Tosfos as much as it is a problem with the other Tosfos, but it depends how you look at it. Everyone has a second sheet. Even if you didn't get it, we're going to use this as a launching pad back into the Rashba. Tosfos on Kuf Lamed Amud Beis. This is not a long the distance between these two Tosfos. This is the Tosfos on the top of the first page, and this is the Tosfos on the very next page. Okay? This Tosfos is commenting on Shalom Birtzono, right? The first Tosfos Yehuda just read, where it says Shalom Birtzono, where they brought the knife through the courtyards instead of doing it through the highway, and Rabbi Elazar didn't like that. Why, according to the first Tosfos that we just read, according to what Yehuda just read, why was it, as a review, why was it okay, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to go through the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Kedei lemaher, right, to make it faster, to make it, the Bris Mila go quicker, to make sure you get there quicker, you can go through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim D'oraisa. Says Tosfos over here, Kasha la Rashba. Who's the Rashba? Who's that? Rishon. Rishon will know this in the Gemara.
Yeah.
You think he's quoting the Gemara here? He's not quoting the Gemara. Who else could he quote? Who's the Rashba? Oh, the Rashba. You mean this guy? You think he's talking about this guy?
No, he can't
be. Tosfos comes before the Rashba. So who's the Rashba? This is why it's important to recognize, because you could start thinking that he's talking about this Rishon, and he's responding to something that he said. This guy never said this question. I mean, he does, but he doesn't. He's not asking the same way. It could very well be that they ask the same question, but it's not the same person. This Rashba is referring to a Tosfos named what? The Rash Mishan. The Rash Mishan is the later Tosfos. He's a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is probably the most common author of most Tosfosim. When you read a Tosfos in the Gemara, I think a plurality, I don't know if it's a majority, but at least a plurality is just the voice of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was Rashi's grandson. Rashi didn't have any sons. So Rashi's grandson, Rabbi Yaakov Ben Meir. Technically, his acronym would be the Rivam. Why wasn't that his acronym? Because he had an older brother. His name was Yitzchak. He's the Rivam. So why is his name Rabbeinu Tam? Because Yaakov, Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. So Rabbeinu Tam was named Rabbeinu Tam because his name was Yaakov. Just like Yaakov Avinu was Yoshev Ohalim, was Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. So Rabbeinu Tam is typically the author of all Tosfosim, most Tosfosim, and here it's a student of the Rabbeinu Tam. So I don't know if we can work backwards and say that the original Tosfos was Rabbeinu Tam and this is his student, but it would be interesting to just to sort of conjure up that image of Rabbeinu Tam and his student discussing this in the Beis Medrash. And here's the Rash Mishan's discussion with his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Tam.
Rashbam, cousin.
Rashbam is the middle brother of Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yaakov. Rashbam is also the son of Meir.
Why did he get his own
because he was first.
Commentary.
Why did he get his own commentary?
Why isn't he included in
He could be. He is sometimes quoted in Tosfos. In Baba Basra, he basically takes over the page. And in Arvei Pesach, I mean, he has his own parish. And on Chumash, he has his own parish. He was unique in the sense that he continued to do what his grandfather did on Chumash. Rashi just came to give the pshat of the Chumash. None of the other Tosfos didn't try to do that. Rabbi Natan actually has a famous line where he says, "I couldn't do what my grandfather did. I just can't do it. It's like not in my nature." Where is it? I have to find it. I have it somewhere.
Didn't he think that his grandfather was too drushy? Like he was even more.
Oh, that was the Rashbam thought that.
Yeah.
The Rashbam in Bereishis says that my grandfather. Well, it's not that his father. It's not that his grandfather was too drushy, but that his grandfather admitted to him that he was too drushy. That Rashi said to the Rashbam, his grandson, I could have been more pshat oriented, which is why the Rashbam feels the need to say more pshat than Rashi. What?
Why is he so drushy?
Why did Rashi have to be so drush?
Yeah.
It was easier.
He knows it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think later in life, when he looked at Chumash more and more, he thought he could explain things in other ways besides the Midrash. But yeah, it's just ironic because Rashi at the beginning of Bereishis says, "I'm here just to explain the pshat," and then like every single pasuk he's quoting another Midrash. So it's just like ironic, but the Rashbam says, I came to sort of do the work of my grandfather to make it more pshat-oriented. But yeah, either way, so this is the other brother. This is Rabbeinu Tam. This is the student of Rabbeinu Tam. Kasha the Rashba, the Rashmi Shams. I don't know what his father's name was. Ha'amrin and Lekaman Bepirkin, don't we say later on, in a couple dapim from now, Ko makom sha'atem o'se'ase v'lo sase, anytime you have a mitzvah and a lo sase to do, if you can somehow figure it out, you can pull it off, you can do both mitzvahs, meaning you can do the positive commandment by not violating the negative commandment, then it's better. So the
whole muscle gets in itself?
No one disagrees with it in the Gemara on Kuf Lamed Gimel. Yish Lakish says that, and everyone sort of takes it for faith. Kind of, which Gemara are you referring to?
It's
a different thing. I don't think.
Yeah, that could be.
Oh, that's by Osim and Spatzman Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not by Asidu Halosase. That there's a big difference there when it comes to doing two different mitzvot Ase. So then there's much more flexibility to say that if you missed out on a mitzvah, okay, what's the worst that can happen? You just missed the opportunity to do a mitzvah. So when it comes to an isser, we got to try the most of our best, you know, put our best foot forward to try to avoid an isser. Right, but also mitzvah means, okay, I'm not going to get to the other mitzvah, never. So that's part of it, yeah. But says the Rashba, we say later on, Kuf Lamed Gimel from Yish Lakish, that anytime you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah and avoid the isser, so that's better to do it. So here, v'hacha, cave unto ef shalakayim eshneyem, la'avio derech gagos v'chaseres v'karpifos, amaya v'yu oso derech v'shal rabim. I don't care that Rabbi Eliezer holds you can do machshirin on Shabbos. It doesn't matter that he allows you to bring the knife on Shabbos. If you're able to avoid an isser d'oraisa, you should avoid an isser d'oraisa. And then he goes into a tangent about how do we view the pasuk. Let's put that aside for now. So what is the Tosos asking? The Tosos is asking, why does Rabbi Eliezer okay with going through Rosh Hashanah? Shouldn't he say you should go a different way if you can avoid the Yisra D'Oraisa? Shouldn't he say that? Now, where have we heard that question before? Shouldn't Rabbi Eliezer avoid an Isser? That was the first Tosos question. Shouldn't he avoid Isser by bringing the baby? What was the second Tosos' second answer? What was Tosos' second answer? Kedei Lamaher. And what did he use as a proof that, look, Rabbi Eliezer is okay to violate an Isser for the sake of Kedei Lamaher? What did he use as a proof to that? This exact Gemara. Shalok Yirtzono. And now Tosos is asking Akasha on this Gemara and saying, wait a second, you should have gone through the Chatzer. You should have gone the other way. What is it? You just told us you can violate that Isser. You just told us on the Amud Aleph you could violate that Isser, Gzeila Maher. So what happens between Tosfos number 1 and Tosfos number 2? In the words of the Maharam Shif, everyone asks this question. If you have the paper here, Machin Ha'olam, You just said the same svara. Even though you could do it in a way that's not us, except for me, Rabbanan. As it said in the first Tosfos of the Perek. This is referring to the Tosfos Rashba, not the Rashba of the Rishon, which we haven't gotten back to yet. But the Tosfos Rashba, the Al Karachach had the Kamer Rish Lakish. When Rish Lakish says, when he says, if you can avoid the Isser, avoid the Isser, Iri afilu hechi d'memaher ha-mitzvah. Even if you're able to speed up the mitzvah, you should still not speed up the mitzvah. If you're able to avoid the Isser, avoiding the Isser is more important than speeding up a mitzvah. K'shemekayim ha'asiv d'ol chalav afilu hachi. Ho will v'yachol l'kayim ha-shneyem aser lidchos halav. You're not allowed to push away an Isser d'araisa for the sake of doing something fast. If not, so then what's the chiddush? What Rish Lakish is saying, don't do Isurim? We know not to do an Isser. What's the chiddush? It must be, you should still avoid an Isser even in the face of something which is less comfortable. Even when you could do something better or easier, more conveniently, you should still avoid the Isser. If it doesn't make a difference, so then why would you ever think you could be over the Isser d'araisa? If it makes no difference, if it's not faster, it's not slower, it's just the same, so why would I ever think, well, I could do it this way to avoid an Isser, I could do it that way to not avoid an Isser. Why would I ever think that I could not avoid an Isser? Of course I can't avoid it. It must be that the Chiddush of Rish Lakish is teaching you that even when it's advantageous to avoid, to violate an Isser, you should still not violate that Isser. So says the Maharam, although the Maharam Shif also asks the same question. So the Maharam says that when it comes to this Rashba agrees that Rish Lakish still holds water. That L'maher HaMitzvah is not good enough to push away an Isser. According to this Maharam, these Tosfos are disagreeing with each other. It's a weird thing. But maybe you could say this is Rabbeinu Tam and this is the Rosh Mishant. They're two different people in the best of Beis Medrash. It's easy to say we don't have to go, get ourselves all, bent out of shape for the sake of making Tosfos fit together. Because different Tosfos, then we're talking about different Tosfos, different people. So this one clearly is the Rashba. The Rashba meaning the Tosfos Rashba. And this one is clearly not the Rashba, at least according to the Maharam. That's how you can reconcile, by saying that they're two different people, two different opinions. This one says you have to avoid Isurim, even if it means slowing it down, even if it means you're going to do the bris mila later, you still can't violate the Isur. You still have to push it off. And there, by the way, there are opinions on this point, that even if it means to wait till tomorrow, you should wait till tomorrow then to violate the Isser, which is kind of at heads with Rabbi Eliezer, but not for now. But the first Tosfos that we saw says, Gedilul Maher HaMitzvah is better. So coming back to this Rashba, the Rishon, the Rashba from Spain, not the one from France. The Rashba from Spain is on the back of the page. Yesh Lomar, this is the bottom here. Komakom is the bottom of the first column on the back. Komakom shatam otzi ase vos ase im ase yachol akayim eshnei mutav im lav yavo ase birches lo tase yesh lomar the shani hacha the ef shashal obidchos mil gavi mil atzma. When it says you can't the ef shashal obidchos mil gavi mil atzma, how are you going to do a mitzvah of bris mila? What does it take to do a mitzvah of bris mila? It's not a rocket scientist question. How do you do bris mila? You cut off an orla. What problem is there on Shabbos to cut off an orla? Gozes, shearing, right? Just like you can't cut your fingernails on Shabbos, you can't cut a part of your body off. It's learned out from shearing of a sheep to use the hair, or maybe to smoothen the skin.
Is Chabala part of that?
No, that's about Silvea. Interesting question, but. But last Shabbos I gave a shiur in shul on Shabbos afternoon. The shiur was called cutting your hair and picking your nose on Shabbos. Because the question is, are you allowed to cut your hair by combing your hair and picking your nose? When you comb your hair, the secretia that you're going to pull some hair out, depending on what kind of comb you use. But when you pick your nose, it's not a secretia. So there's room to be lenient for picking your nose on Shabbos, but there's not room to be lenient to comb your hair with a legitimate comb. There is a real thing. It's a real thing. The Mishnah Berurah points out that for Shabbos, even if you have already a soft comb for the weekday, you shouldn't use the same comb. You should use a special Shabbos comb. A special soft Shabbos comb.
Even men
are allowed to comb their hair. You're talking about Begadisha?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the men.
The men have shorter hair.
Yeah, the
Mishnah Berurah makes this distinction. Either way, says the Rashba, you're already violating an Isser. With your hand is okay, by the way. Even though you're violating the Isser of Bris Mila, you're already violating Isser. You're doing the mitzvah of Bris Mila. You can only do the mitzvah by violating an Isser on Shabbos. That's the only way you can do the mitzvah of Bris Mila is by violating Isser. There's no possible way. You can't get around it. So says the Rashba, once you're already inevitably going to, and listen to the way I'm saying it, it might conjure up some buzzwords. Even though you're inevitably going to violate an Isser of Bris Mila, you still do that Isser. And once you're doing that, once you're inevitably violating an Isser for the Bris, you can violate Isserim beforehand also.
Shouldn't you limit it? Like, you shouldn't do too many at once.
Good. So the Hilkach says the Rashba, Af hi umachshireha kemila arichta damu. Even the preparatory stages of the Bris Mila, it's like one long Bris Mila. I was talking to Ethan Yehud about this before, his Gemara Bava Metzia, about how long does a mitzvah extend? Even the preparations for a mitzvah could be part of the mitzvah itself. Machshir mitzvah dochen also. But what's this Rashba telling you? The Rashba, and listen to how I'm saying it. The Rashba is saying that I can bring a knife through Rosh Hashanah, even though there's a better way to do it, because ultimately I'm going to be violating an Isser D'oraisa anyway. I can violate an Isser D'oraisa now, because ultimately I'm going to violate an Isser D'oraisa anyway. What does that sound like? That's Tosafot's first answer. What did the Rashba say to Tosafot's first answer?
Why
am I looking at what I'm going to do later for what I'm doing now? Later is later. We'll talk about later. How's that different from here? There's a big difference. What's the big difference between Tosafot's?
One of them is leading up to the Mila.
Good. One is in order to go do the mitzvah, the Machshirei mitzvah, on the way to do the mitzvah, you're bringing the knife to do the mitzvah, that's leading up to the mitzvah. It's part of the access of the mitzvah. You're going to do it. But Tosafot's first answer wasn't talking about doing something. It wasn't talking about an ultimate Isser D'oraisa for the Bris Mila. He was talking about ultimate Isser D'oraisa after the Bris Mila. After the Bris Mila, we're not talking about the mitzvah anymore. So why should that factor into how I'm going to do the mitzvah? So that's the big difference between Rashba here and the Rashba before. This sounds like Tosafot's second answer. And there are those who say that if you're able to do it much faster, you should bring it. If you're able to bring it through the chatera, the derabanan way, but you're able to do that fast also, so then you should do the fast way, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. If the highway is faster, so then it's better to do that way. And to put it in your hair, which is part of the Gemara, maybe you should put it as like a piece in your hair, as opposed to holding it with your hand, which is more. So even that, you don't take the side way, you don't take the chater, you don't do it in your hair, because you don't make any shinoi. And then he points out an interesting idea, which I wanted to focus on, but I'm not going to, in terms of the fact that you can bring it that way, but you can't also create the knife for that sake. You can't create the knife, which seems to be against Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, which would imply, and I'm just going to say this, I'm not going to explain it, I'm going to try not to explain it, which would imply that the Rashba is separating the allowance for his reason makdimin to override Isurim, as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. He doesn't say that that's only relegated to Rabbi Eliezer Shita. He says that it's an independent concept, and that's why he allows you to bring it through the Rishis Haravim, but he doesn't allow you to create the Kli. Not going to go into it. But when it comes to this Mehiris of Tosfos, why is it that Tosfos allows for Mehiris to override the Isser D'oraisa? So we had said, and Sfas Emes implies, on the back of the page, Sfas Emes implies that it says Rizim Makdim L'Mitzvot. There's also another possibility. Daf Adaf says it is Zrizus HaMitzvah Docha Shabbos. That also could override it. And it's possible that the Zrizus is extended from the Mitzvah itself. That's part of the Mitzvah. And once you have the Mitzvah allowance, you have the Zrizus allowance also. There's an interesting methodological point in there also. But the Divrei Yechezkel of Yechezkel Bornstein, I believe the 20th century, not even 19th century, there are two Yechezkel Bornsteins. I think it's the first one. The 19th century one. I couldn't look into it too much, but he explains it not based on only Zrizus, but a different concept called Chaviva Mitzvah Beshaita, which not really going to get into because we're out of time, but there's a concept that it's better to do a mitzvah at the proper time than to push it off. Now the question is, what's the proper time? And with Zrizus might give him a mitzvah, so then it could be the proper time. It's right in the morning on the eighth day. But ultimately, it's either because of Zrizus Makdimin or it's because of Chavitah Mitzvah B'Shaita, and that's what allows you to override it. However, as we saw before, the Rashba does not think that that's a legitimate opinion. It happens the Rashba of Tosfos doesn't think it's a legitimate opinion. The Rashba doesn't make any, you know, clarification there. The Rashba, the Rishon Rashba, they're both Rishon, but the Spanish Rashba, right, the Sephardic Posek Rashba, believes in Tosfos' second answer. So the Rashba, the Spain Rashba, disagrees with Tosfos' first answer, but is fine with Tosfos' second answer. He has his own version of the first answer, which is that he's already a Nachano Seis Asmo from the beginning. But in the end of the day, he says the second answer is legitimate Kedei L'maher, maybe because Rizu Makdim L'mitzvos. But other Rishonim say that we don't pass on like that, even when it comes to Rizu Makdim L'mitzvos. So we can divorce this, right? Separate this concept out, even without Rabbi Eliezer. Do we hold that Rizu Makdim L'mitzvos can override an Issa D'Oraisa? And that's Machlokes Rishonim. Here it would imply that you are allowed to be over an Issa D'Oraisa for the sake of doing a mitzvah earlier. How that's possible, maybe it's because of Rizu Makdim L'mitzvos being its own mitzvah D'Oraisa. Learned out from Avram Avinu, which is a pasuk, but it's before Matan Torah. So how do you look at that? But or secondly, you can say it's a hutra situation that the Isra doesn't apply when there's Yitzhak Makdim Mitzvos. So in the end of the day, we have a machlokas, Tosfos and Tosfos. Ironically, we have a Tosfos, a machlokas. Let's call this Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam for the sake of simplicity. We have a machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba. Then we have a machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and the second Tosfos, meaning the Rashba. And then we have a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba of Spain on one hand, and the Rashba of France on the other hand. Right? So different machlokas in here about how to understand. And in each one of them, you can divorce out of this specific of Rabbi Eliezer, because we don't pass on Rabbi Eliezer. But these nekudos, these ideas, you can take out independent and say, how do we paskin in other situations when we do paskin as Rizim HaKim L'Mitzvos, or we do paskin like Rish Lakish. You can't override the Isser if you can avoid violating it. So even though we don't pass on Rabbi Eliezer, these inyanim can be used for other situations as they are. If you look at the Divrei Yechezkel, you can see some of those situations where we say it. But okay, and I find the methodological point, bless you, is also interesting. How do we get to the state where Aziz and Rakdimin is able to be over the Isser D'Oraisa? So we said possibly because the Aziz and Rakdimin is itself an Isser D'Oraisa. Or you could say, and the Divrei Yechezkel points this out, anyone who likes good lumpus, this Divrei Yechezkel is really geschmack in terms of this, that the reason Makdim L'Mitzvos is not a separate concept, but rather is built into every mitzvah. That every mitzvah, in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah, the part of the mitzvah is reason Makdim L'Mitzvos. Just like Hidr mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah is reason Makdim L'Mitzvos. And therefore, it's not that you're doing reason Makdim to override an Isser, you're doing Bris Milah to override the Isser. And part of Bris Milah is doing it earlier. Right? It's a different way of looking at it. But interesting stuff for those who like Lamdas. I would suggest Divrei Yechezkel. Hopefully tomorrow we'll get into Hutra versus Dechuya, which is a fascinating concept, not just in Bris Milah, but in all Shabbos questions. All right. 8:15 tomorrow morning. We need all